From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell. And my guest, since she was last here, has gone on to do such things as, make another show with Mike White. She's we saw her, of course, in The White Lotus and her most recent show now on Showtime. I love that for you. She's working with Vanessa Bayer. But, of course, she's been in such films as she's last here for Other People. She reunited with the writer-director of that for a TV show, The Other Two. She's been very busy. In addition to everything else, my guest, Molly Shannon, has a book, Hello, Molly, a memoir. So let me say, hello, Molly.
I like that. Hello, Elvis.
Oh, my gosh. This book is so much fun. And as I was reading it, and I saw the name Madeline Alnick, I went, wait a second. Didn't she direct Molly in a movie?
She did. She directed me in Wild Nights with Emily, a movie that she wrote.
Exactly. And why don't we tell the story? I mean, because that story, first of all, these stories, I don't know how you sort of culled the ones that you use, because they're all, they basically kind of build this mosaic of Molly Shannon. And that story of connecting with her and the people you work with her, but also a very important incident took place with her, didn't it?
Yes. Well, years ago, Madeline Olnick and I met at NYU Drama School. We were both drama students. And when we were rehearsing, I was mostly working full time when I was a student there at a squash club called Park Avenue Squash and Fitness. But finally, I think it was like my last year at NYU, I thought, gosh, I should take advantage of NYU and do one of the productions. So I auditioned for this show called The Follies that was kind of a midnight comedy review show where we would kind of make fun of the teachers and just like a fun comedy show. The rehearsal for that show, Madeline had us do an exercise where she said, let's just, you know, do this exercise, an improv exercise. I'm going to play a really snotty director. And it's your job to come in, walk through the door, make up a character and try to impress me, try to get my attention. In that exercise, I walked through the door and I said, hi, I'm Mary Catherine Gallagher. And Madeline's character just kept being very unimpressed. And I would have to do things to try to get her attention and get her to notice me. And she would continue being unimpressed. Anyhow, Madeline ended up loving that character, Mary Catherine Gallagher, that they ended up kind of building the whole show around that character. The show was a huge hit on campus. There were lines around the block to get into our show. At that time at New York University, I thought of myself as a very serious dramatic actress. But after that show, The Follies, people started coming up to me on campus saying, you should be on Saturday Night Live, because they knew me, you know, from that show and doing that character, Mary Catherine Gallagher. And I thought, really? I'd never thought of comedy before.
I mean, that's one of the many great anecdotes in the book. But as you say in the book, that character just kind of leapt out fully formed in response to the way that Madeline was dealing with you. And it's so fascinating because, as you say in the book, she's in some ways is this sort of version of you, this really intense version of you, dealing with a lot of your own anxieties. But it's also interesting, too, that she sort of leapt out of your head and she's got your sister's names.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Elvis. You know, that's so interesting. Nobody has ever pointed that out. And I don't think all the years I've ever talked about that character. Yes, my sister Mary, who is my older sister who survived in our car accident, and my sister Katie, Catherine, who died in our car accident. Yes, but I think that was totally unconscious when I did just make that up, you know?
But I mean, I just was thinking too, I mean, when I saw that, I just thought there's so many things that are about your family life. And like you're talking about your dad in the book sort of encouraging you to basically sort of live out this wild side and to explore parts of yourself that you might not want to explore. And In some ways he had a motive for asking you to do that or encouraging that he couldn't admit to himself even.
Yeah, I mean, I think he liked having fun. He had a very silly side. I don't know if he wanted me to be wild because he was hiding a part of himself, but he made parenting fun, like just mundane stuff. Like if we went to a candy store in Shaker Heights, he would just make a game out of everything. You know, he was a single parent. So he would just say, "Hey, Molly, when we go into this candy store, do you want to pretend like I'm blind?" And I was like, okay. He just made everything was like a game or a performance. And my dad was also a frustrated actor. He wished he would have gone to the Cleveland Playhouse and pursued acting, but he didn't have the confidence. So he was doing a lot of acting, you know, as a parent. So we'd go into the candy store and he would pretend like he was blind and he would go knock down boxes of chocolate and then take bites of the candy and say, is this chocolate? You know, and, you know, it was, he would just do silly stuff to make me laugh. Or he would undress the mannequins in the department store when he took Anne Ramp, my childhood friend, and I shopping, and he would unbutton their shirts and make them look really sexy and very silly. I mean, very mischievous. He liked to have a good time.
Well, he wants you to experience life, really. He wants you to take chances and to feel things. And in a way, he was really your first acting coach, wasn't he?
He really was, Elvis. He would, I call it the Jim Shannon School of Acting, but I really first learned acting with him because we would do these phone call exercises in our house where he would pretend to answer a fake phone call, like, "Hello, Shannon residents, this is Molly." And then I would have to pretend like I was really listening to someone talking on the other end. Like, "Oh yeah, uh-huh. Oh yeah, 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 my dad's right here." And if it seemed at all fake, he'd go, "Cut, stop, that seemed fake." And you have to start over and make it really real, so genuine, no acting, very natural performance. And I really still use that in my acting now. I mean, I use that technique when I was in The White Lotus. I try to make it very natural. He really gave me that gift. We would do that exercise so much that I could really trick friends when they came over to our house. So we would do the fake phone calls. Like if somebody was at a friend was at our house, we would call from the other end, you know, call from another line. And then I would answer, say my friend Allison was over and I go, "Hello, Shannon, this is Molly." "Yeah, Allison's right here." "Uh-huh. Wait, what? Oh my God, really?" And then I would pull her in acting like something was happening on the other line about her. She'd be like, "What?" And "Hold on, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can put Allison on." "Really?" You know, and I would make it so real that I could trick my friends. And then my dad was like, "Bravo. Excellent. That was very real." You know, not funny.
By the way, we're talking to the actor and now author Molly Shannon. Her book is Hello, Molly. I just like saying that. She's also starring on with Vanessa Bayer on I Love That For You on Showtime. But we talked the last time you were here about so many of your characters kind of living in the moment and just really grabbing hold of things. And it's so much fun to read the book and to see a lot of this came from the way you grew up and then the sort of thing that your father encouraged you to do. I mean, it felt almost like it was this thing where he's saying, in addition to everything else, we all experience this really close call together. And I want you to really savor life in a way that you might not have had this thing not happened.
When you lose your parent as a kid, it does give you an appreciation for life on earth and time with loved ones and kind of not taking anything for granted. And I think losing my mom and my sister when I was 4 years old in a car accident gave me this urgency for life. Like, oh my God, this is it. Like, wow, we're alive. And okay, it just gives you an appreciation. You just don't take anything for granted.
Because I guess I wonder what made you decide to write the book.
My husband was very encouraging. He's like, "You should write a book." But I have to be honest, Elvis, I had to kind of push through my embarrassment because I have a hard, critical part of myself that was like, nobody's going to care. And it made me feel a little embarrassed, you know. But I think I really wanted to push through my fear and do it anyhow. I wanted people to hear my story. I hope that it would inspire people. Of course, I wanted it to be funny. And it was cathartic to write it. A lot of people said, "Oh, was it cathartic writing it?" At first I would say, "No, not really," because I felt like I'd processed a lot of it already in therapy. But it really was cathartic because you go back and revisit these parts of your life that you might not have wanted to think about that happened, you know, over 50 years ago. And when I was writing the book, Elvis, for the first time in my life, when I was writing the accident chapter, that was very hard to write. I felt like I was holding my breath when I was writing it. And then when I finished it, I could like let my breath out. But in the middle of writing it, I, for the first time in my life, Googled the address of where my cousin had the graduation party that we left that night to the point of the accident where it happened on Dead Man's Curve over there, and then our home address. And I don't know why, never in my life have I done that. I guess I just didn't want to think about that. And I don't know. And it's interesting in the way grief and trauma work, and how you could just put something away for 50 years. And then for whatever reason, this one day, a few months ago, I MapQuest that. And I discover that my dad had driven for 90 minutes and we were 18 minutes from home. We were almost home. He'd driven us and we were almost at our house. And that was heartbreaking to discover.
The book is so vivid, Molly. And to start it with that particular incident, I wonder what motivated that for you.
I think it's kind of like it was such a point in my life that had a profound effect. The car accident, losing my mom, Peggy Keating, and my sister, Katie, and my cousin, Fran, and my dad was at the wheel, and my sister, Mary, and I survived. Our whole life changed in an instant. Life as I knew it ended that second, and we were going to now begin a new life. I felt defective. I felt like I must be bad. I felt like, why did my mom and my sister leave without me? It changed my whole life. So I couldn't not start with that, since it was such a big, major incident that happened. It would be strange to not. I felt like, let's just start with this, then we can move on and get on with the story.
It's such an interesting thing to frame the book with, just because, like you said, everything is really motivated by that. And we measure everything against that. I found myself going, like, just thinking about, you know, Wild Nights with Emily and
how
that performance. Yes. But it was triggered by, of course, seeing Madeline's name. And I went, oh, holy smoke. But the book is also so much about the way you don't discard things in your life. I mean, all these memories, these things are kind of like the book becomes this sort of walk through your life with these objects that you remember and these experiences and how one thing led to another and how a lot of these people in your life you're still close to.
Yes. And it's interesting where you bring up Wild Nights with Emily, because, you know, Emily Dickinson, well, our movie is that she was a lesbian and that she had a relationship with her brother's wife, Susan. And she did what she could do for that time when that was not accepted. She made it work. She was like, this is how we'll be together. We'll live next door. It's interesting that you bring that up. And with my dad being gay, being born in 1926, it just wasn't an option. He was born a generation or two too early, where it just wasn't so easy to come out of the closet and be yourself. So it's interesting that you draw those parallels. Is that what you were thinking?
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking you found a way to sort of bring that part of your life into this story, but also sort of making all these things that are really kind of tough to deal with and dealing with them in very practical ways.
And, you know, I wrote about my dad's best friend, Mr. O'Neill, when he died. I wrote about that. That's another way. The reason I wanted to write the book was my dad was such a big personality in my life, a big influence. He was like my mama gypsy rose. He believed in me. He gave me encouraging words in show business. He was like, when I said, oh, Hollywood's so hard, daddy, you know, there's so much rejection. I'm not blonde and beautiful. I'm never going to make it. And he goes, listen, that attitude will get you nowhere, Molly. He said, what you have to do is, he was like, you got to put on your high heels and doll yourself up and you march into those offices of those casting directors and agents. And you say to them, say, hey, hold the phone. I got talent, and use your singing voice. That was his advice. Isn't that funny, Elvis?
That's perfect. I'm going to ask you to hold the phone. We're going to take a break. My guest is the author of Hello, Molly, Molly Shannon. Of course, she's also starring with Vanessa Bayer on I Love That For You on Showtime. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us. Welcome back. My guest, who apparently at a young age was a very close friend of David Mamet, is Molly Shannon. Her book, of course, is Hello, Molly, a memoir. I mentioned the David Mamet scam because it's such a wonderful section of the book.
Well, my friend Eugene Pack and I were struggling actors in Hollywood, and we were trying to get into the doors of these agents, but I would walk up and down Sunset Boulevard and pass out my headshots, but not get any calls. And we thought, ugh, we got to do something else. We're never gonna be able to make it. So one day I thought up the Mamet scam. Gene Pack and I had studied with David Mamet at NYU. We decided one day to make phone calls and pretend to be these fictional characters who worked with David Mamet. So my character was Liz Stockwell. His character was Arnold Katz. And basically, we did research at the AFI library on managers and agents and anybody in showbiz we wanted to meet. So we would make these calls Friday at 4 o'clock because these agents were in a good mood. And I would call and I would say, this is Liz Stockwell calling from David Mamet's office. Can we please speak to X agent? And the reason we chose David Mamet, the brilliant playwright, screenwriter, Glengarry Glenn Ross, legendary, amazing talent, was because we knew that he was more Vermont, East Coast. He wasn't coming to LA that much. We knew there wouldn't be a cross check. And let me tell you, Elvis, these agents were so excited that David Mamet's office was calling them on a Friday. They would put the agent straight through and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm on with this agent. And they would say, oh, well, hello, Liz. And I would say to this agent, David speaks so highly of your company. He just thinks you're a fabulous agent. And we would love for you to meet this new up and coming kid. We really need to just set up the appointment now. And Eugene Pack and I previously, Elvis had worked in sales at Park Avenue Squash and Fitness. So when we were selling health club memberships, we always had a rule that you couldn't hang up the sales call. So you had the credit card in hand and made the sale. So our rule with the Mamet scam was don't hang up till you got the appointment in the books. So whatever obstacle there was in the Mamet scam, we had an answer. So I'd say, Eugene's taking meetings. I need to get it in the books. They go, okay, Liz, you know, why don't you ever come in next Wednesday? And I say, great. And then Eugene would call for me and get me in to meet Bernie Brillstein, Joanna Ray, the casting director of, I wanted to be on Twin Peaks. So Gene, as Arnold Katz, got me in to meet the casting director, Joanna Ray, who cast Twin Peaks. And when she met me, she was like, please give David my best. And she was like, Molly, you must meet David Lynch. And I got cast on Twin Peaks through the Mamet scam. Isn't that funny?
Well, you have to tell a story about how you got busted in that, because that's the best part of the story.
Yes. Well, I wanted to be part of the Brat Pack because I was like, wow, this Brat Pack, Emilio Estevez and Ally Sheedy and Molly Ringwald is like, I want to be part of that pack. So we got into the agent of the Brat Pack, Gene Pack, AKA Arnold Katz, got me in. And I went to this agent and I sat down with her, got the meeting. I was so excited. And she was like, how you doing? Sit down. I sat down. She goes, I just wanted to see what a liar looked like in person. My heart started pounding so fast, Elvis. I said, what? And she said, yeah, your little friend Arnold Katz called with this little scam, you know, saying he works with David Mamet. What a crock of BS that is. And I was so nervous. And then all of a sudden I said, wait, what? I just used my acting talent from NYU. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What? And she goes, hold on, honey, let me ask you a question. Are you dating this guy? And I played really innocent. Like I was like a kind of a dumb, naive lady. And even though Eugene Pack and I were not dating in real life, we were just friends. I said, yes, I am dating him. And then she was like, turned like kind of to help me. She was like, well, let me tell you, like sister to sister, this guy cannot help you. Like he's like a scum bucket. Like he doesn't know anyone. So, and I was like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for helping me. And then I ran out after that meeting, called Eugene Pack on a payphone. I was like, we just got busted. And he was like, what? And so it was crazy, Elvis.
My guest, who is now close personal friends with David Mamet and David Lynch, is Molly Shannon, the author of Hello, Molly. It's a treatment, by the way. One of the things I think is really sort of touching about the book, too, again, is this kind of sense of community and that everything in this way turns into family for you. And one of these big formative experiences for you was when you were a kid getting into a theater group, which I think gives you something to pursue, but also you're talking about the affection that these kids had and this kind of openness, and that clearly sparks something in you that you're still living in some ways.
Yes. One of the things I realized, having lost my mom when I was four, I miss, you know, a woman's touch, that motherly touch for their affection and holding you. And I remember getting cast in The Little Rascals, this like local, like carnival show. And one of the moms washed my hair one night and I was like, oh, I felt so nice having like a mom shampoo my hair. And one of the things that attracted me in the Heights Youth Theater, this children's theater that I became a part of, run by Jerry Leonard, was how affectionate these theater kids were. They would always hugging one another, and we would make a massage chains and we would braid one another's hair. And there was so much affection and love that is one of the things, the main things that attracted me to show business.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of what's happened in your life in a lot of ways is echoed in I Love That For You, the character that Vanessa plays. What was your first discussion with her about the part and the character you're playing in the show?
Vanessa and I are both from Shaker Heights, Ohio, both from Cleveland. And interesting, Vanessa's writing about her life when she was overcoming childhood leukemia, fighting, you know, for her life. And it's interesting, I'm writing a book about my life, and then we're doing a TV show together. Vanessa really became obsessed with that world of Home Shopping Network when she was sick in a hospital because she had to watch TV all the time. She's in bed. And so Vanessa loved that world, and it was like such an escape for her. So she told me a lot about it, about what she loved and how these women sell these things and, you know, how they touch the objects they're selling, that somehow when they're, whatever they're selling, they can appeal more to the viewer if they touch it. Like, this tape is so cool. It comes in like 15 different colors and they'll touch it and they stroke it. And then the person at home feels like they're touching it. And just the kind of magic of that whole world, the fantasy that this product is going to change your life, and women connecting with other women who might feel lonely on television, and the comfort of the, you know, so she's just kind of, Vanessa really knows that world. So she really taught it to me, because my character on I Love That For You plays the top saleswoman on this Home Shopping channel.
Oh, well, tell me what the way she described the character to you, the character you're playing on I Love That For You.
Basically, my character, Jackie, is just the queen of a Home Shopping Network. And Vanessa comes on as a newcomer. You know, she gets a job there and she idolizes my character. She's a star to her. She can't believe she's meeting my character in real life. Oh my gosh, this is the woman she's watched. It would be like, you know, meeting Meryl Streep or something.
Or Elizabeth Taylor, like your father did.
Yes, or Elizabeth Taylor, exactly. So my character takes Vanessa's character under her wing and kind of shows her the ropes. But they actually form a fast friendship, and it's very sweet. But yes, Elizabeth Taylor, like my dad, isn't that funny? My dad broke into Elizabeth Taylor's dressing room, Elvis. He was in Palm Beach, and my dad was a recovering alcoholic, but during this period he was drinking, and he said, "I know Miss Taylor." It was like at the Palm Beach Playhouse, and so they let him back in her dressing room, and he said she was, you know, polite, but she said, "Have a drink and get out," like really tough. Not funny.
But just, again, that moment, and all these sort of things about just trying something on to see if it's going to work for you or not. I mean, there's a spirit of sort of complete eagerness in the book that I just love. I mean, there's a whole section you're talking about creating a fake actor's equity card and how far you got with that.
I did. I got so far with that. I created a fake actor's equity because it was so hard to break in. I was like, how do you get into equity? So I just thought, well, we can make a fake one. And then I was able to get into audition for these big professional Broadway auditions when I was at NYU Drama School. I auditioned for this show called Smile, which was about, I forget what it was, like a bunch of young girls in a beauty pageant or something. But there were a lot of girls my age, you know, 17, 18. And so I made it to the final callback. You had to be able to sing and move well. And my singing was really good, but the dancing, I wouldn't call myself a professional dancer, but anyhow, I made it to the final. It must have been like the final, you know, 15 girls or something. And we had our final callback in front of the famous legendary choreographer, Miss Debbie Allen. And they brought me into a room at the big Broadway studios. And it was like maybe 8 producers and Debbie Allen. And she said, great. She's looking at my resume. You made it this far. Great. Your singing's great. Acting's great. She goes, now the last part is, let's see the dancing. And she said, okay, Molly Shannon, show me your moves. And I said, you want me to show you my moves? And she said, yes. And I said, is there music or you? And she said, no music, just freestyle. And so Elvis, I wish I could demonstrate. So I had to freestyle dance in front of 9 people and Debbie Allen. And I did like, yes, spins and a few little robot, and I did, you know, like a jump in the pirouettes. It was not good. And then they were like, thank you. That's all, you know, that's all we need. Have a good day, Molly. It did not go well.
Oh my God. Cause I was thinking about that moment from the book. Is watched the first episode of I Love That For You, and Vanessa's character has something similar, and I don't want to give too much away, but I thought, wow,
yeah,
you've actually lived that on the other side. So to get to be the person watching somebody get busted for something must have been interesting to play.
Yes. I love that you make those connections. Yes. It's really interesting. And it's a betrayal too, because they become friends. So it's interesting.
It's such a great acting moment for you, because again, we've talked about this when you were last here. I'm always impressed by the way you physicalize characters. And that's why just watching who Jackie is physically, and there's a great moment where she like gets busted, like trying to walk past Joanna's office, and then, okay, her dressing room rather. And well, I might as well own that I tried to sneak past her. I mean, that physical aspect of her, that she just basically, once she gets caught in something, she just owns it.
She owns it, exactly. I was saying to Jesse Klein, our amazing, super talented writer, showrunner, I said, there's nothing I like more than a scene where I just walk, like if I have to walk away, or an entrance. I like an entrance and an exit. And so she thinks that is so funny, because I had one scene where I'm mad and I have to, absolutely not. And then I march off and I get to walk down the hallway and turn the corner. It's my all-time favorite thing. No lines, just pure sass and walking.
I wish we had more time to talk, but it's always great talking to you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Elvis. It's always a pleasure. I love talking to you.
I love talking to you too. My guest is the author of Hello, Molly, a memoir, Molly Shannon. She's also co-starring on I Love That For You on Showtime. Our production staff includes Katie Gilchrist. The show is edited and produced by Rebecca Mooney. To better days, everyone. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.